This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
22-9 the game with Matthew Stafford remaining with the Rams. The Vegas Raiders are now expected to at least look at the options of Russell Wilson or Justin Fields or Sam Darnold. That is where now their attention apparently is going to turn to. And again, this is interesting for us Falcon fans because as we started the show today, start to two, where you been? This may open up a door for us that was not necessarily there prior to this move because everybody said, okay, if Stafford leaves and he goes to Team X, then that means this quarterback may go here and this. And we were like, okay, well, what about us? What happens with Kirk Cousins? So now, Chris was saying, Chris is in for Mike today, there is a really good chance that you could have potentially more desperation as some of these teams are not going to be able to get in on some of the rookie quarterbacks that maybe they want to or draft one. And even if they do, they still want a chance to have a vet to play this season. So we're going to see where this shakes out. Maybe this helps us a little bit. The Steelers, I'm with B-Mac, by the way, Chris. And I'm a Justin Fields guy. You guys know this. I said bring him home. I thought that was the move for us when we decided to go Kirk Cousins. It didn't play out that way. So be it. He is winning games, and then they decide to move on and, you know, give Russ a shot. But if you're the Steelers and you're talking about long-term viability, just his age and athleticism gives him a notch up on Russell Wilson. I agree with B. If you're going to keep one of those guys, that's the guy I'm trying to keep. But I just don't know if they're sold on either one of them. And then if they're not, what is the plan for the Steelers? So it's interesting because they could lose both of these guys.
They pick 21st. So that's going to be too late to get into the top two quarterback game unless you move up. Again, it's been reported that Tennessee's open for business. And if I'm Cleveland and I'm trading Myles Garrett, even though they say that they won't, they will. They're just waiting to get a package big enough. I'm open for business as well. So you have number one and number two sitting there to go get you a quarterback. If they don't believe in Fields, if they don't believe in Russell Wilson long-term, Carl, and that's the key, because they're both going to want multi-year extensions. So you willing to pay Justin Fields? Has he shown you enough? You willing to believe in Russ that the first half of the season is who he is and not the second half? I don't know. And then if you're Pittsburgh at 21, do you want to trade the assets to try to go get either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders if you believe that one of those two guys has the chance to be your next Ben Roethlisberger? Because that's what you're looking for, right, Carl?
Yes, you are.
You're Pittsburgh. You're not looking for another stopgap guy. That's what this year was for them. They had two, so they really had none, as the cliche goes. So I think, again, just to bring it back home here, I think that bodes well for the Falcons. That's another team that's just in the mix. Again, I really don't think it can be overstated how big the news was we got today. Because Stafford was the number one guy out there. And he was being recruited heavily as the number one option by two teams in the top six. So now what are those teams going to do? Never mind teams like the Colts and the Steelers that we're just talking about that are further down in the draft that would have to trade up even more capital, again, making Kirk Cousins more palatable to afford to another team in a trade.
Let's hope that's the case. By the way, the franchise right numbers have come out. So if you, and we're not franchising anybody, but if you were going to franchise tag somebody, I'm just going to give these numbers real quick, and then we'll get into fourth and one. Matt Mercer's on the way as well to talk some college football with us, and specifically his thoughts on maybe these quarterbacks in the draft and other players at the combine. If you franchise tag your quarterback, it's going to cost you $40 million. Seems like a little bit low, doesn't it? Non-exclusive rights franchise tag. Doesn't that seem a little bit low, considering the top quarterback in pay right now, Turtle, doesn't it?
Isn't the franchise tag the five highest,
yes,
the average of the five? That doesn't seem right.
It doesn't. It says the numbers on franchise and transition tags for 2025 were announced. NFL sent teams a memo on Thursday, and these are the numbers. So, again, I'm like, Point is, Sam Darnold, if you don't want to give him a long-term deal, this is what you're going to pay him. Running backs, by the way, we're not franchising anybody. We don't have that. We're not in that situation. But if you were, running back, average salary of top five, that's $13 million, 13.6. Wide receiver, 23. Again, we are not in a position to do any of this, and nor should we, but these are decisions that teams are going to have to make. Now, even if you franchise tag a guy, you still have time to get a deal done, and that's always the most viable thing because it spreads out the numbers and gives you more cap flexibility. But, yeah, I'm looking at this, and the only reason I brought this up is earlier today, Turtle and I were talking, and he said, I don't think I can pay our kicker what he's making. Turtle, according to these numbers, and again, this is from our buddies like Tom Pelissero and Adam Schefter, and the kicker punter non-exclusive right franchise tag, if you had a guy that you thought was that good and you didn't want to pay him long term, it's $6 million.
Really?
Yes.
See, that's interesting to me because I was looking at Koo's contract. He's due about $10 million over the next 2 years, and I thought that was steep. So that's actually more close to average, which still, he missed 9 kicks last year. Again, that's the problem.
It's a lot.
He missed 9 kicks. I know he was hurt, but you at least got to bring in some competition. And again, my point is, Carl, if you can get a guy on the cheap for like $1 or $2 million, that's a lot of extra money. I need every penny I can get. The Falcons are, I have the numbers. I looked at the numbers. I sent them to you and Oren last night. The newest measurements for teams and how much cap space they have came out last night.
Okay.
And the Falcons right now are not sitting pretty. I'm going to tell you that right now. Your Atlanta Falcons are sitting in the bottom third of the league. 25, Kansas City, 7. 26, Houston, 4.7. Dallas Cowboys, 1.3. 28, Atlanta Falcons, negative $5.29 million over the cap. So they still have to clear $5 million just to get cap compliant, even with the new numbers being put out of what we said yesterday, Carl. What was it, 279?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're still $5 million over the cap. So you're telling me that if you get rid of Young Wei Koo, saving roughly $10 million over the next 2 years, I just think any little measure you can do right now to get yourself where you need to be, because, Carl, all these things that we're talking about for the Falcons, can they get a free agent edge rusher to come over? Can they get the top free? You're not going to be able to do much of anything until you get yourself right with the numbers. And I know every year people find a way to do things and talking about restructuring Grady and all that, but still, like, you're not going to go from negative 5 to 50. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and here's why these numbers are interesting. We're talking about the franchise tag, transitional tag numbers. The two different tags are different simply because one allows you to match what another team has offered. And if you don't, and that player leaves, you get picks in return. The other one is non-exclusive. He's our guy. We're franchise tagging him. He's either going to make this amount or we're going to do a long-term deal with him. So that's the distinction between the two. But you worried about Drew Dolman? Offensive lineman, franchise tag, if you were trying to, $23 million.
No,
just tell it.
No, I can't do that because we looked it up the other day, Carl. That's more expensive than what the top center makes in the league. The top center makes 18, which is Creed Humphrey.
You've got to do, if you're keeping him, which I hope they do, again, let's not create more problems, then you've got to create, you got to do a long-term deal with Dahlman and give yourself some cap relief. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Just some interesting tidbits about what's going on right now. By the way, Zeno just hit me up. He goes, what happened? What's going on? I'm playing Army this weekend.
Credit to Mark Zeno for asking a tough question and following it up.
So he's already wondering what's being said about him as he is doing the reserve duty thing. Thank you, Colonel. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Matt Mercer, but we got to get to 4th and 1.
By the way, Carl, he's going to be insufferable when he finds this out.
Do you think so?
Oh, my God. Because he's going to try to play it as if he was clairvoyant. He's going to try to play it as if he knew something we all didn't. He did not. He did not. Nobody knew that Stafford was staying in L.A., not even you, Mark Zeno, the great colonel. So you don't get to take a victory lap on this one, sir.
That's fine. We'll see what he says. Jair Alexander, you like him? You think he's good?
When healthy, he's a top three corner in the NFL. Problem is, Carl, he's played a combined 14 games the last 2 years.
All right, so he's making, what, $17 million a year? Is that right?
Yep, that's top corner money, as we know.
Don't we need a top corner? Don't we need one?
Yeah, but can we afford, literally and figuratively, to take that big of a swing? Carl, that's exactly what I was just talking about with the Falcons being over the cap right now.
Yes,
like those are the things you can do when you have, like, Washington Commanders cap space, not Falcons cap space.
But as I mentioned, we have not yet.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get restructured and seen how this is going to look. Turtle, if they want to restructure all these vets, and I've said this, you could literally save $50 million. Now, I don't think they're going to do that. I think we're still going to be in the $30 million range when it's all said and done. But if you really wanted to go hard in the paint and just go, you know what, we're going to have a lot of money here, more money than we need to play with, and we're going to go make a major move, you could do it. The problem is you're extending older guys, and that becomes a problem down the road. I'm with you. I don't think Jair Alexander's in our future, but somebody's going to take a chance on him. Apparently the Packers are releasing him this offseason. It's a mutual breakup, allegedly, and I'm just a little bit surprised because, again, two-time All-Pro corner, these guys don't grow on trees. Everybody's looking for cover corners. You said it, though. The injury bug has hit him, and so it makes you wonder how viable he is, no matter where he's going to end up. But I think somebody's going to end up grabbing this guy and probably being very happy with Jair because he's going to go somewhere else, and hopefully he plays a lot more games and is much more available than unavailable, which is what he's been in Green Bay.
I'll say this. If Terry Fontenot didn't swing and miss on both Judon and Simmons last year, I'd be a lot more open to it. But you can't go back-to-back years taking big swings like that and potentially missing. You can't do
it. Why not?
Because that sinks you.
Aren't we in win mode, like, now? Like, well, what do you mean?
No, win now.
He has to.
No, Carl. The clock has been reset with Michael Penix Jr. No. We are in build this thing the right way mode. As far as I'm concerned, I want long-term growth and development for these players.
Long-term? We haven't been in the playoffs in 8 years.
Yeah, that's fine, but I'm talking about Super Bowl. I know that's a cursed word around here, but I'm talking about getting this team back to being Super Bowl ready. I'm talking about getting this team back to being NFC title contenders year in and year out. And that starts this season. You're right about that. But to be a finished product? No. I can't, if I'm Terry Fontenot, take a swing that big on another vet who's coming off of a major injury, Matthew Judon, and taking a swing on him. We just did that, and it didn't work. He is not sitting in a position. You know, if the Falcons went 12-5 the last 3 years, okay.
Blame Cousins.
Yeah, okay. But the Falcons won 8 games last year and won 7 games in 3 years before that. Terry Fontenot does not have the luxury to take that big of a swing. He just does not.
All right, we got more to get to, guys. Matt Mercer is going to join us, college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. He does a terrific job. We'll get his thoughts on everything that's going on at the Combine, his thoughts on some of the potential draft picks as well. I will say this. I think Terry has to be bold. And you cannot be scared to take a swing like that. Now, the Jair Alexander thing that's one example. But it could be any example in the NFL right now where you say, we're going to roll the dice and go try to grab a player. You can't play scared. Turtle, scared money don't get money.
No, okay? Well, listen, Myles Garrett, yeah, that's one thing. Go ahead. I don't care. Sell the whole damn farm. I'll back you 1,000%. Jair Alexander, 14 games the last 2 years, can't do it.
Well, you keep talking about he can't do these moves like you can't live scared. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yes, it does. Of course it does.
It doesn't. If you think he improves the team just like this last year, those two moves, everybody thought it was going to improve the team. It didn't. You can't live scared and make those moves.
No. Carl, as the kids say, there's levels to this ish, man. There just is. Certain players, I think you give the green light to
them. There were levels last year when everybody was begging to get Simmons here. There were levels when we didn't have any edge rush and you were telling us that Judon was the best thing since sliced bread.
No, those
are the levels we were on,
right.
And it didn't work.
You know why? Because you had a 36-year-old quarterback and you were in win now mode. Now you're not.
Oh, so blame Cousins. We're coming back.
I'm going to blame Cousins.
It is Dukes and Bell talking a lot about the Combine, and rightfully so. It gets us ready for the upcoming pro days and the draft that's going to happen. Nothing bigger than the NFL draft in the offseason. And there's a guy that we absolutely love to read. He is dialed in, and his name is Matt Mercer. He writes for the Orlando Sentinel and covers college football. And, Matt, it's good to have you back on the show. Chris in for Mike today. And as we've been talking about, you know, what's been going on at the Combine, I think the Abdul Carter news yesterday was a big shocker. And it seems like every year, Matt, we find one of these stories where one of the top picks or potential picks has something going on. Does this deter you at all from what we are projecting him to be or where he might be picked in this draft, Abdul Carter considered to be the best edge rusher of this class?
Well, I mean, it might. Obviously, there could be – depends on who, you know, who's interested. You know, obviously, he's been thought to be a potential number one overall pick. You know, if there's concern – you know, you said it before. We've had this happen before in years past, where guys come out whether they've had some sort of injury or something pop up. Is it something that they feel like is going to be an issue? You know, I think a lot of it is just about it's just the timing of it all. You know, having figuring out that what's the you know having this news come out the way it is, it's obviously not ideal. And so whether or not you know Tennessee makes that move or you know, they decide to go a different route, you know, and look somewhere else or trade the pick overall and then see where that goes. I still think there's a lot of moves. I think for Carter, again, you'd rather get this out now rather than have it kind of pop up, you know, over the next couple of weeks. And obviously it was something he couldn't not kind of bring forward with everything going on at the combine.
After we saw the performances yesterday of some of those guys that you were just alluding to that are his peers, how many big guys do you think could go in the first round being defensive lineman or edge?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. I think you could see a more than a handful depending on, you know, what, you know, some of the needs. I mean, I know where everyone wants to focus on the quarterback situation, you know, and talk a little bit about, you know, the quarterbacks that are out there. But I think this is a very solid, you know, defensive lineup of players right now. And I think you could see a lot of those guys go. I think Carter obviously is a name that's going to be at the top of everyone's list. You know, you look around, you see some other guys, you know, Mason Graham's another guy that from Michigan that everyone seems to be, you know, keying in on. Mike Green from Marshall's another name that's popped up. You know, James Pierce from Tennessee had a great year for Tennessee. He's a guy that I think you're going to see definitely be a first round pick. And then, you know, you've got the Texas A&M player, Shamar Stewart. So, I mean, I think there's probably going to be 5-6 players maybe that could go from this round. I think more so than the quarterbacks you're going to see in the first round. And I think that just goes to show you the amount of talent at that position.
We're talking with Matt Mercer, guys, college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. And what do you make of this quarterback class? What do you think of it? Is it better? Not as good as last year? Would it be on par? Like, everybody I'm talking to, Matt, says these guys, this is not a great class.
You know, I would kind of agree with that. I mean, you know, there's a couple guys at the top. Obviously, Miami quarterback Cam Ward is going to be the guy that everyone kind of has at the top. You know, they're going to be looking at his ability, what he's able to do. You know, I think Shedeur Sanders is another name that I think you'll see go in the first round as well, for sure. But then once you get past that, it's kind of like, okay, well, who are some of the other guys that you feel like can really step in and either contribute right away or going to be guys that you're going to see on the field on Sundays, you know, the next couple of years? And it's a struggle for me to really kind of think of anyone else. And we may not see another quarterback go until we get into the third round based on some things. You know, Jackson Dart's a guy from Ole Miss who's got some potential. You know, although there's a lot of comparisons to him to Aaron Rodgers, you know, I mean, you know, there's some other guys right now that you know, could also find their way into that first, aggressive find their way into the second or third round. So right now, it just kind of depends on what the needs are out there. But, yeah, I don't think this is as strong as a class as maybe some people originally thought it was going to be.
Locally here in Georgia, losing a lot of prospects again to the draft, but Kirby has just been able to keep reshuffling the deck year over year. But last year's defense, not as good as the one that won back-to-back national championships. Matt, do you think that Georgia's just going to continue to be a powerhouse, or is there a chance that they take a real step back with more depletion, especially on the defensive side of the ball?
This is Kirby Smart we're talking about. He's a guy that's not going to just, you know, you don't just all of a sudden forget how to coach and recruit and things like that. I think that the challenge has been, guys, and this is something that I think happened to Alabama a little bit over a few years ago, and it just kind of happens, is that with the transfer portal, I think you're seeing more and more parity in the sport. I think you're seeing more schools able to go out there and get players that normally would be, you know, maybe like a 1A, you know, like a 1B type player. You know, maybe not the elite starting quarterback, but maybe he was a backup. And then what these other teams are doing is they're able to get these guys, and they're from the Georgias and the Alabamas and the Ohio States, and they're adding to the rosters, and it's kind of helped elevate them. And now you're seeing some of these teams come out there and find a way to kind of really kind of balance a little bit of some of the things going on in college football. And I think we saw that a lot last year, especially. I know, you know, Georgia didn't finish the way they wanted to, but you saw kind of, you know, the competition they had to face. You saw that with Alabama. Alabama had a disappointing year based on, you know, what people expected to see happen. You know, you look around the SEC. The SEC was strong again, per usual. You know, Clemson had its issues. You know, in the ACC, you know, even though they finished 10-4, you know, it's just difficult right now. I think schools now are finding ways with the transfer portal, with NIL, you're finding ways to convince players to come, you know, come play for you. And I think that's kind of even the playing field. And so I think that's why you're seeing what happened. And like I said, I think Kirby Smart will figure this out. And I think eventually they're going to still be at the top of everything. It's whether what's going to take them to get them over the hump to get to that title once again.
Matt, while we're talking about this, what do you make of Greg Sankey and Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, you know, and how they're just playing this with expansion and what they want and the demands of, you know, more teams from our conference being involved in the playoff? It's kind of one of these things. I said it's like the five families sitting at the table and you're saying you don't have any power. Just listen. That's what I feel like this has turned into.
Yeah, I think it is. I think we kind of joked about it last year a little bit, but the SEC and the Big Ten are really the two main families, so to speak, when you use that referee, you know, like when it comes to collegiate sports. And they're kind of driving things. They're coming and saying, we want this, we want this, we want this. I think everyone else at the table, you know, the Big 12, the ACC, you know, what's left of the Pac-12. I mean, everyone else basically have to kind of say, okay, we don't like it, and we'd love to have more of a say, but we understand you're the guys are the ones kind of driving the bus here now with everything when it comes to money, it comes to media rights deals, with television viewership. And that's where we're seeing some of these decisions coming down. I mean, especially with the college football playoff. I mean, they're the ones saying, hey, we want these four automatic bids. You know, we want the 4-4-2-2-1, you know, one, you know, system, because we want to have more teams in the playoff. We believe we should get more teams in the playoff. They're taking the same approach with the NCAA tournament. We want to add more teams, but we also want to make sure that we get more of our teams into the playoffs. So it's, in some ways, you got to respect the conference wanting to say, listen, we're at the top. We want to make sure our guys get opportunities. But on the other hand, it's not going to help out the little guy. I mean, you know, for sure. I mean, you know, but if there isn't much you can do, all you can ask for is try to give us a bigger piece of the pie monetarily and try to save some sort of voice for yourself when it comes to maybe, you know, when it comes to policies and things like that.
Since we mentioned the Big Ten, Matt, who do you think is going to have the tougher time retooling and getting back to where they were this year after losing their quarterbacks, Ohio State or Oregon?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think probably Oregon a little bit. You know, I mean, I thought that they, you know, again, it, you know, coming in, you know, they had a pretty miraculous season when you think about it, walking into the Big Ten the way they did, the way they started, how things kind of went. Again, you know, Ohio State seems to find a way, now that you've won a national championship, don't get me wrong, they're going to have a lot of players who are going to go on, who've gone off to the NFL and things like that. But I think it's easier to recruit once you've won a title. You know, Ryan Day now can walk around and say, we've got a ring, you know, come play for us and you got a chance to win another one. Maybe a little more difficult at Oregon. I know Oregon's got a bigger, you know, NIL cachet right now. But again, once revenue sharing kicks in with the house settlement stuff coming up in the next few months, a lot of that's going to kind of even itself out. So I think Oregon's going to have a much more difficult time than Ohio State getting back.
Travis Hunter, real quick before we get out of here with you, you know, everybody's talking about him playing both ways in the NFL. You know, we mentioned this at the end of the show yesterday. You're going back to the 50s, right, with a guy, the last time this happened. As talented as he is, what do you see him as? Is he a DB? Because we've heard from teams this week say they're going to start him at defensive back if they were to draft him. Other teams are saying wide receiver. And then he said, look, I want to play both, but I don't think you can do what you did in college.
No, I don't think so at all. I think not in today's NFL game. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, there's more games. There's more opportunities to get hurt, more chances to get banged up. I think one team is going to zero in on him and decide, we want you to be, you know, a wide receiver. You know, we want you to go out there and we want you to start at this position. You know, we want you to make sure you're going to be the guy that can make the plays that we need to make offensively. And, you know, if you if a situation arises that we might need someone to step in, we might throw in that situation. But usually, NFL teams like to stick one or the other. They really don't want to put their players in that situation. It's just a wear and tear, and it's a grind. And I know Travis is probably going to say, listen, I can do it both. It doesn't matter. But I think your career gets shortened when you get to the NFL in that kind of situation. So I think it's going to be decide one or the other and figure out what works best for you. And I'm sure he's having those conversations with teams right now. And maybe there is somebody. Let's say the Raiders. Let's say somebody says, hey, sure, we'll let you do both. If that entices them maybe to want to get drafted there, maybe that'll be a selection. But I think when it comes down to it, he's going to look for the best opportunity and what best fits what he wants to do.
I agree. Matt, man, great job as always. Enjoy your stuff down there and read him. Orlando Sentinel, he covers college football, does a great job. Have a great weekend, man. We'll see how this all shakes out. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain. Or check that. All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. This hour is brought to you by. Coming up, Yeah Man, No Man, as we continue along today, guys. We're going to talk about Gunnar Stockton. How tough is he as well? And we'll get to more about the Combine coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to talk some dogs. Gunnar Stockton getting some love, and we'll fill you in on the latest from the Combine as well. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Carl, real
Chris
quick.
Chris in for Mike today.
Yeah, Carl, real quick,
man,
before we get to Yeah Man, No Man, this just coming in. Guess who is going all in on a push for Myles Garrett, including the potential of moving on from some of their young stud defenders?
Eagles.
That's right. Could you imagine?
Eagles.
Could you imagine?
I can. Well, if you check out the podcast, All Things Covered, if you check out the podcast with myself and Brian Baldinger and Jason LaComfora, we talked about this a few weeks ago, and Howie Roseman has the balls to do this. This is not a surprise to me whatsoever when you talk about the Eagles, their wherewithal, their foresight, and more importantly, they can do this. And it doesn't surprise me at all. And here's the thing. They actually get better. If you do this and you add Myles Garrett to what they already have in that defensive front, you're going to give them some future picks. Who cares about the picks? You've hit on the draft the last 4 years if you're Howie Roseman. Who cares about future first-round picks? To your point earlier, Turtle, about where we are and where they are, they're in their window right now. They could get back to a Super Bowl next season. So does not surprise me whatsoever about the Eagles being the team that could be the one that trades for Myles Garrett.
I think if you do that, that's essentially locking you back into another Super Bowl. Not a title.
I'm with you.
It's not given, but in appearance, I mean, you would have potentially one of the five greatest defenses of all time. If you put Myles Garrett on top of what they already have on that defensive line, Carl, you can't double-team everybody. There's only five guys on the offensive line, and you throw a tight end in there. So you're telling me if you have a line with Nolan Smith, with Jalen Carter, with Jordan Davis, and with Myles Garrett all on it at the same time, has there ever been a better defensive line than that in the history of football? Maybe the Steel Curtain? I mean,
well, you go back to when Reggie White was with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep.
And that would be the comp when you start talking about how dominant they were. But there's been a lot of hype from other defensive lines. But I will tell you, like, that scares me right now. And I know it hadn't even happened yet. Like, to game plan against that and more importantly, to protect. Because you got to double somebody. So here's the deal. All right, we're going to double Jordan in the middle. Good luck. Because you got these two guys coming off the end. Okay, we got to double Miles. Well, good luck, because then they're going to get to push up the middle. Like, that is going to be a problem if, in fact, it happens. But podcast is called In the Huddle, by the way. I said All Things Covered because our man Brian McFadden's podcast was on, or we were talking about it earlier. But check it out. We were talking about this just like 2.5 weeks ago about the teams that would have the most benefit of getting a Myles Garrett, and this doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
Carl, between the Hawks, this show, your own podcast, you don't need another podcast.
Get out of my pocket.
Come on,
get out of my pocket,
man. Come on, man.
Get out of my pocket. Hey, I work, Turtle, unlike some people. Hey, man, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. All All right, Turtles with me, which means Big O's got Yeah Man, No Man, and I'm curious to know what he's talking about on a Friday. What is going on, Orin?
Well, I'm over here working, too, just to let you guys know, yes.
Exactly. There I know. You're always there. Always.
Literally, I'm always here. Yeah. That's another story for another day. No, talking about that Miles Garrett story, though, I got to feel bad because he said any of their young defenders are on the table, so... I mean, chances are, if you're like a Nolan Smith, that might mean that you have to go. How much would that suck that you go from the world champion Philadelphia Eagles and you get traded to lowly old Cleveland?
Well, let me just say this.
How much does that suck?
It sucks. It sucks. But let me just say this. Checks still cashing?
Checks still cashes, man, but... That money in Cleveland doesn't spend the way it would spend in Philadelphia in terms of just the joy it would bring you, I guess. I don't know, man. That's rough for me, man.
I'm with you. Look, nothing substitutes winning.
No, you're right.
Nothing. If you have won in your life in anything, nothing substitutes that. Like, you could make the most money ever and don't win. And I've talked to a lot of these guys in professional sports who've been there. And, oh, man, I was on, you know, some crappy teams. And, you know, we had a couple of shots, but I never had a chance to win anything. But I made a lot of money. All those guys, most of them would trade all of that, man, to be winners. To be able to say, I won a Super Bowl or I won a couple of chips or whatever it might be. I'm with you, O. Like, that's different, man. I mean, the money's good. But why do we think Miles Garrett wants out? Like, Miles Garrett was the highest-paid defensive end in the league. He got the biggest contract.
Exactly.
It's not enough.
No.
It's not enough, man.
And just to think, too,
But Nolan got one, though. He just won. Why
not stop at one if you get a chance to win another?
I guess.
And you go from, like, a stable organization in the Philadelphia Eagles to a train wreck of an organization in the Cleveland Browns. Like, you go from just the most – just everything just – oh, man, this is how NFL teams should be run. And then you go to Cleveland and you're like, I wish I was back at Georgia because the Georgia football program runs infinitely times better than it does.
Well, I will say this. It would be the equivalent of, like, what LaMelo Ball is on the Hornets. Like, you're the best player on a bad team, so just, like, do you, man. Go try to get – Go get a sack on every play, Nolan. Yeah. Just you got one job. Pin your ears back and go, big fella.
There are no plays.
It's like
it's
LaMelo.
Only your play,
it's
yes.
like LaMelo. Just go take 35 shots tonight, kid.
You'll hit some of them. Not all of them, but you'll hit some of them. I want to start with last night. Don't know how late you guys stayed up, but T-Wolves and Lakers were the late basketball game on NBA TV. And was out in L.A., and something interesting happened in the first half of that game. Early in the second half of that game, I should say. Anthony Edwards got a double technical in the first half, and then there was a play where he had the ball, and he thought he was fouled, and he fell, and he looked at the ref, and he said something, and they teed him up, and he got ejected. Anthony Edwards got ejected. And Anthony is the guy who a couple weeks ago made the comment talking about how the face of the NBA. He doesn't see himself as the face of the NBA. With the ejection in the game yesterday and Anthony Edwards' comments about being the face of the NBA, LeBron was asked about that last night and being the face of the NBA. And LeBron had a very interesting take that made the media rounds this morning.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but like, I don't know. Why do you want to be the face of a league when all the people that, you know, that cover our game and talk about our game on a day-to-day basis on everybody? Yeah. You have that responsibility. It's just weird. It's weird energy from the people that, I don't know.
Yeah, man, no, man. Is there some validity in LeBron saying, why be the face of a league that constantly finds a way to poop on you at all times?
Ant-Man suspended, by the way.
Yeah, he got the technical.
He's suspended
the technical
now
limit,
for one game.
Wow.
Wow. Is this new? Like, is LeBron saying this now? Would he have said the same thing 10 years ago? That's my question. Like, is the coverage from... Because we all know Charles and Shaq and them, they've been who they've been.
Exactly.
That's not new. So does he feel like even the pool reporters and the beat reporters have all taken a negative slant and all the talking heads on ESPN and everybody, our guy Big Perk, are they just all negative all the time? Or is this something he's felt forever? That's what I wish he would have disclosed, because if this is a new thing, I guess maybe I can understand it a little, but if he's going to sit up high on his throne as the king and talk about how he's been disrespected for 25 years, Carl, that just ain't true.
He has been disrespected.
Oh, stop it.
He has been disrespected.
He's the second best basketball player of all time.
He has been disrespected. LeBron has every reason to feel this way. Everything he's done has not been enough. Everything he's done has not been Jordan. Everything he's done has been, oh, but only if. He has been disrespected. But I will say this. There's something to being the face of the NBA. But it's also a privilege to be the face of the NBA. And with that comes a responsibility. So, you know, LeBron has been, and I've said this, this is the part that bugs me about everybody that wants to crap on him. He hadn't had one wrong step in 20 years. And prior to that, by the way, he was in the limelight at 13 years old. 13. You didn't mind to find out about him until he was 16 or 17 when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. But at 13, people were already talking about him being the next big thing, and he was already different. So for 13 years of his life, maybe, or 11 years of his life, he was not in the limelight and everybody wasn't watching what he was doing. Now the invent of social media, and he's been a big part of that with the whole movement. I mean, I don't know, man. I look at this and I say, I hear LeBron. I get what he's saying. I don't disagree. I mean, I agree with some of it. I don't agree with all of it. But this whole face of the NBA thing, he's basically saying, look, I've been there. This is where I've been, and look at what's happened and how I've been criticized, and yet I've not had one wrong step. So he's saying, why in the hell would Ant-Man want to do the same thing when all they're going to do is try to tear you apart?
But
that's just a part of it.
Carl, where are you getting the I don't see that for him. I just think he's not Michael Jordan. That's his biggest sin. Like, that's it. He has two less championships. I don't think he's going to get two more. So
see what I'm talking
about?
He'll
finish his career. But that's not disrespect. That's just saying you're number two instead of number one all time. Like, that's not...
Let LeBron be LeBron. It's always been that. That's what he's saying. Like, no matter what I do, he's the all-time NBA scoring leader. Yeah, but he ain't... Like, are you serious? He's got all these records. I think right now, and Oren, you may know this better than I do, I think right now at age 40, he's got, like, more 25 and 10 games or something like that to the effect, or maybe it's 30 and 10. Than anybody that's ever been 40 in the NBA.
He's been 40 for like 3 months, and he already has the most 20-point games at the age of 40 than anybody else in NBA history. And he's been 40 for less than 3 months.
Yeah, Mike didn't do that. We don't say that, do we? Mike didn't do that, but we don't say that.
I don't know.
That's the disrespect, Turtle. That is the common denominator and the underbelly of all of this, which is why he said what he said. You may not agree, but I hear where he's coming from. I really do.
I guess. I don't see him ever being anything other than applauded for everything he's done the time immemorial that you just laid out since he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at whatever he was, 15 years old. I think he gets all the respect in the world that he deserves. Like, when you're talking about people at this level of sports fame and all-time greatness, what do? Carl, we parse it a little bit. We have our Mount Rushmores. We have our Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron debates. Like, that's okay. That doesn't mean that just because I think Michael Jordan's number one and LeBron's number two, that I don't give LeBron everything that comes with being the second best NBA player to ever play the game. Like, we're still acknowledging that. I don't feel like when I listen to people talk about LeBron that he's somebody that doesn't get the flowers that he deserves.
You may not believe this, but you still have people upset about the decision.
Oh, my God.
This is right.
You think I'm lying?
No, I don't. I don't. But that's crazy.
It is, but it's part of the conversation. You talk about no missteps. He didn't do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, we forget about the money he gave to the Boys and Girls Club and in the whole process. All everybody said was, oh, what a jerk. What an egomaniac. He has completely changed the game in ways that he has not been given credit for yet. And when he's done, I think we're going to reflect differently on LeBron James.
All right, guys, on that note, let's go ahead and get up on out of here.
Who's your top five, by the way, Turtle? Jordan, who else is in your top five?
NBA all time?
Yeah.
I think
you
got to go Michael, LeBron, you got to go Wilt, you got to go Kareem.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think it's a toss-up between Bird or Magic. Yeah, okay. The top five.
Okay, I'm with that. You don't have Kobe in there?
Yeah, it gets tough, right?
It does.
Because Kobe's got five.
It does. It does. You don't have Tim Duncan in there? Best power forward all time in the history of the game? You don't have him in there?
He's top 10. What about Shaq?
I'm just saying. That's what you're talking about. That I get it. But, man, I would love to have a star of any league not take one wrong step for 20 years. You can't say one damn thing bad about him, but yet every day you find a way to criticize him. That's LeBron James. We're coming back.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.